Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
For the family, the Bible Broadcasting Network. And this is Teen Week on BBN with special programming through the week, specific messages for parents and teens on building blocks for the family in the afternoon, and conference pulpit in the evening through Saturday night. Our speaker this evening is Dave Young, who has been preaching since 1986. He founded the Dave Young Evangelistic Association in 1994. Dave has preached in over 1,000 churches, schools, colleges, and camps in 44 states and in 6 different countries. He has a 3-pronged ministry: revival and evangelistic campaigns, Family Matters conferences, and overseas missions work. Here's his message this evening for Teen Week, Order My Steps.
And take your Bible this morning and find one verse, Psalm 119 and verse 133. Psalm 119, 133. We're going to memorize it and just use it kind of as a jumping off verse. Psalm 119, 133. Here's what the Bible says: "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Psalm 119, 133. "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Psalm 119, 133. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to say that reference together. Psalm 119, 133. Just like that. Then we're going to say the verse, and we're going to repeat that reference. Y'all ready? Let's memorize this verse. It's a good verse, and a lot of application you can get from this verse, so let's memorize it together. Give the reference, the verse, the reference, everybody. Here we go. Psalm 119, 133. "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Psalm 119, 133. All right, just the guys. All right, guys, you ready? Just the men. The men. How many men we have here? Let me see if men. All right. Just the men. Everybody who's a man, let's say it. Psalm 119, 133. "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Psalm 119, 133. And all the ladies, and ladies, you got to do it on your own now. You can do it, can't you? All right, on your own. I'll start you and drop out. Here we go. Psalm 119. That's a simple little verse, isn't it? "Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over my life." Order my steps. I want to talk to you this morning, just a real simple thought here on some steps that will change your life. Or specifically, I guess I would be better if I titled it, "Some Steps That Have Changed My Life." So I want to just share a couple of things with you that have changed my life. Order my steps in thy word. Just to kind of get you thinking a little bit, answer this question, all right? Now, don't answer it until I tell you to, but get ready. I'll ask the question. Don't answer it until I tell you to. It's a simple one. The question is, how old are you? Now, I want all of you to answer. Pastor Tice, Dr. Jackson, everybody, answer the question on the count of three. Y'all ready? 1, 2, 3, you are?
16.
All right. You remember how old I am?
40.
All right, you got it. I'm 40. Now think about this, and this may take a little work on your part. Don't answer till I tell you to. How old will you be in 10 years? Don't answer till I tell you to. I know some of you need to add it, so go ahead. And you got it? All right, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. How old will I be in 10 years? Can you imagine that? I'll be 50 years old in 10 years. My goodness, that's shocking. I'm 40 now. I know that's old to some of you. I'm in the middle. It's kind of weird being 40 because to some people I'm like really old. It's really weird. You know, like some teenagers like, you're how old? Like, yes, smarty pants, I'm 40. But to older people in my church, they're like, ah, you know, you're just a kid. So I'm kind of in the middle there. I'm right there where it's hard to know from old or young. I was in a Japanese steakhouse a few months ago. Went out to eat with my family, took my kids out to eat for lunch at a Japanese steakhouse. We sat around this Japanese steakhouse, you know, on the table there, and they're fixing all the food for us, doing the, you know, tossing eggs in their hat and having little volcanoes exploding out of the onions and things and seasoning all this stuff. And the Japanese people, my baby, she's 22 months old now, and she was just about 6 months old then. And she's just absolutely beautiful. My little girl's just absolutely beautiful. And everybody gave her attention, you know, and she just gets attention all the time. And so the Japanese people there at the Japanese steakhouse, they were just all over her. Oh, she's so beautiful. And they were touching her head and her face. So at the end of the meal, I'm holding her. And so I get my little baby girl, and I'm holding her, you know. She's beautiful. We're done eating. I'm just kind of sitting there holding her. This Japanese lady came over. She leaned across the table, and she took my little girls. You know how people do babies, like, and she did my little baby, you know, and she kind of tweaked her cheek a little bit. And she said, oh, my goodness. She said, are you sitting with your grandpa? I was so offended, I didn't even tip that lady. I'll just tell you that right now. I'm in the middle. It's kind of hard to know. I mean, to some people, I guess I'm grandpa, and to others, I mean, some older people are like, you're just a kid. Just get over it. I'm 40. How old are you? Tell me again.
60.
How old will you be in 10 years?
28.
You know, there's a more important question than that, young people. And here's a question that all of you ought to consider, though you don't know the answer to it necessarily. More important than how old will you be in 10 years would be this question. Where will you be in 10 years? Where will you be? Because, you know, before you know it, many of you will be married. That's kind of weird for you to think about because, you know, some of you are thinking right now, I'll never be old enough to get a driver's license. And the rest of us are praying you never will. You can even walk straight, some of you, let alone drive. That's going to bless your parents' heart when you get a driver's license. Some of you are thinking, I'm never going to get out of high school. And some of you will, just not with a degree. But you know, the truth is, you'll get a driver's license, and you'll get out of high school, and you'll go to college, many of you, and graduate, and you'll get married, and you'll have a family. Where will you be in 10 years? What will your marriage be like? What will your family be like? What will your life be like? What will your job be like? What kind of person will you be in 10 years? And I want to suggest to you, very simply, that it's determined by the steps you take right now. One of the lies the devil will tell you in this generation, it doesn't matter what you do now, you're just a teenager. Have you noticed how we compartmentalize ages differently than the Bible does? Like in our generation, we have babies, then we have toddlers, then we have children, then we have tweenies, then we have teenagers, then we have young adults, then we have adults, and then we have old people, and then we have dead. That's how we kind of think, isn't it? We kind of think, you know, well, I'm just a teenager. Do you know the Bible never thinks that way? The Bible sees every one of us as either a child or an adult. Has that ever dawned on you? The Bible doesn't look at your life and go, oh, they're just a teenager. It's all right for them to be stupid. Because the world says to you, you're a teenager. Now's the time, and forgive me, now I'm not trying to be mean. Now's the time to be stupid. Now's the time to act weird and dress weird and be weird and walk weird and talk weird and do weird things. Now's the time to do all. The Bible doesn't see you that way. The Bible doesn't look at your life and go, oh, he's just 13. Oh, okay, he's just 13, so it's all right that he does the thing. He's just 13. The Bible doesn't see you that way. Right now, in the sight of Almighty God, in the sight of the Word of God, every single one of you are considered a child or you're an adult. In my family, we aspire for our children to become adults when they're 12. Now, we are not there. Our kids have got a long ways to go. But I want my 12-year-old to start thinking like a man, acting like a man. We start teaching our kids when they're 12-ish and 13, you do devotions on your own. I want you to start doing your own devotions. I want you to start praying on your own. I want you to get yourself out of bed, make your bed on your own without being told. You see laundry that needs to be done, put it in and get it done. And when it gets done, get it out, fold it, and put it away. I want you to do that on your own. You're a man. See, the Bible doesn't give you an age. Okay, I'm 13. It doesn't matter. I'm 13. I had a young man come to me after a service one time. I preached on purity. And he came to me after the service. I was in a Christian school chapel, and I preached on purity. This guy came to me after a service. He's 16 years old, and he has on a leather bomber jacket. You ever seen one of those really cool, very expensive jacket? Everybody was wearing them now. Don't you like that smell when a person's wearing a leather jacket? It's like, you smell that smell? Don't you like that smell? Not everybody like. I like that smell. I just like the smell of that leather coat. He had that kind of coat on. And he came out in a real genuine bomber jacket. If you open it, it has a sleeve in here with a plastic place where you can put a picture. Y'all familiar with that? If you've never seen a bomber, a real genuine bomber jacket, you open the jacket and there's a picture right here. And he came up to me after a chapel and he's like, "Hey, Brother Young, look what I got." And he opens his coat and he's got a picture of a lady in a bikini. Look! And I said, I knew the kid well enough to say this. I said, "Andy," I said, "you all know better than that. What kind of kid are you? You're 16 years old and you don't need to be looking at that kind of garbage. You need to keep your life clean, your life pure." And here's what he said to me. He said, "Oh, come on, Brother Dave. I'm just 16. I want to tell you what he's thinking. What he's thinking, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm 16. Doesn't matter, I'm 16, I do what I want to do. I mean, after all, I'm just a teenager. Someday I'll grow up. Have you noticed, teenagers, that there's a lot of 20-year-olds who still try to act like teenagers? Have you noticed that? Here's a tweenie. In our thinking, in our culture today, a tweenie is a person who's not a teenager but wants to be. You ever notice that? They're marketed. A lot of malls now are marketing to the tweenies because parents give tweenies children, send them to the mall, and so they're marketed. They're wanting to be a teenager. They aspire to be a teenager. And they get in their teenage years and they wear fads and fashions. You know, a few years ago it was your pants were 20 sizes too big, pull them down to your knees, pull your underwear up under your arms, you were cool. The kids weren't walking, they weren't strutting in the mall, they were trying to keep their pants up. And here they, you know, they're walking through the mall. Now you see a guy who's 20. He's 25. And the strangest thing about a lot of 25-year-old guys is they're still dressing like they're 15. They haven't yet become a man. They're still a child. Listen, you need to understand this verse is talking about steps. Because don't think, well, you know, when I'm 20, I'll take right steps and everything will be okay. No, no, no. You're 13 years old today. The steps you take, if they're ordered in the Word of God, will lead you to where you ought to be when you're 23. It's so simple. If you're 14 years old, where you're going to be in 24 is based on the steps you're taking. If I knew the music you listen to and the things you watch on the internet and the attitudes you have towards your parents and the friends you hang around, well, the truth of the matter is I know what you're going to be like when you're 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. See, I knew Pastor Matt. How old were you when we first met? 15, 16? Probably 14 or 15. I knew Pastor Matt when he was 14 or 15. And in those days, I knew that God was going to use Pastor Matt because he was 14 or 15. Was he perfect? No, he was a teenager. He's just his teens. He's growing in the Lord just like all of us are. I'm 40 and I'm still growing in the Lord. He was growing in the Lord. He wasn't a perfect kid, but he was taking some right steps. Order my steps in thy word. It's no shock that he's 32 and he has a beautiful wife and he's happily married and he has three absolutely gorgeous little girls and they're loving the Lord and they're growing in the Lord and he's serving on the pastoral staff. It is no accident. And don't you think that just happened. When he was a kid, he took right steps. Mom and dad helped him, and thank God for mom and dad's help. But as you take right steps in life, it leads you in the right direction. You know, I got to say, when I was 15, but there were two steps I took as a teenager that literally changed my life. They're simple. And nothing here is going to shock you. Nothing here is going to, lightning's not going to flash and thunder's not going to roll. But these two steps changed my life. All right, here they are. Number one, I started having devotions every day. Now, I want to tell you, lightning didn't flash. I was 16. I got saved when I was 15. 3 weeks later, I turned 16. And the man that led me to the Lord said, "You know what? If you're going to be what God wants you to be, you got to get in the Bible every day." And so now we were busy. I was a farm kid. I was raised on a farm in the hills of Tennessee. And so I went to a public school, but every morning before I went to school, we had to do farm chores. So that I had to feed animals and water the animals and take care of chores on the farm before I went to school. In the winter months, I was always up before daylight. Always, always, always up way before daylight. And I'd be out in the barn taking care of the animals, feeding animals, cleaning out stalls, getting things ready for the day. And then I would come back and have breakfast and change clothes and go to school. but I was 16 years old. I just turned 16. The man who led me to the Lord said, you know what? You need to be in the Bible every day, every day, every day. Get in the Bible every day and start reading the Bible every day and living the Bible and loving the Bible and learning the Bible. And he said, the Bible will change your life. I was 16 years old, and here was a step I took. I said, all right, I'm 16. Every day, if you'll help me, Lord, I'm going to read your word. Memorize it and love it and learn it and live it. Nothing shocking there, is there? Nobody here goes, wow. You're just looking at me. Because it's so simple. But I want you to know what changed my life. I ordered my steps in His Word. And it changed my life. Here's what I call it. I call it a word from God every day. You know, God will talk to you, and here's how He'll do it. You open this book, read it, and He'll talk to you. And He'll help you. You can grow in the Lord. This is God's Word. You got your Bible in Psalm 119? Say yes if you do. All right, turn over backwards and look at verses 9, 10, and 11. Because here's verses about young men especially, but young ladies, it applies to you as well. Look at verse 9. Y'all ready? Y'all got verse 9? Say, I got it. All right, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you keep your life clean when you're a kid, when you're 13 or 14 or 15 or 16 or 17? How do you keep your life clean? I know how you do it. You work hard at it. You just really work hard at it. The Bible is so much more simple than often we make it. How do you keep your life clean? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I just get in the Bible every day and love the word of God and live the word of God and hear the word of God. And the word of God begins working in my life, helps me keep my life clean. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. What do you seek with your whole heart? Is it some music? I mean, that's your music. You love that music. You defend that music. You get so excited. Oh, have you heard this? Have you heard this song? Have you heard this song? And man, you lift it. You get out of bed and turn that music on. You got it on your MP. It's just pumped in your brain all the time. Man, you just love that music. That is your whole heart. For some of you, it's a boyfriend or girlfriend. Your whole heart is about a boyfriend or girlfriend. Man, you live for them. You talk about them. You're on the phone all the time. How you doing? How you doing? Okay, mom says, I got to get off. And she's like, okay, I got to go. All right, you say bye first. Teenagers do silly things. Okay, I'll say bye. Okay, I'll say it for bye. All right, bye. He's still there. Teenagers, isn't it? Some of you, that's your whole heart. You live for a boyfriend or girlfriend. Some of you, it's sports. There's nothing wrong necessarily without having a friend who's a guy or a friend who's a girl. There's nothing wrong necessarily without enjoying music. I think it's fine to enjoy music as long as the music honors God. I think it's fine to play sports, but that's all you live for. That's your whole heart. The psalmist said, with my whole heart that I seek you in your word. Because what the psalmist realized, it's the word of God that changes my life. It's not a boyfriend or girlfriend. Those things don't improve my life and change it, and I'm never the same. Listen, the word of God is the key to that. Order my steps in thy word. So keep my life clean through the word. The Bible says that here in Psalm 119 in verse 9. In verse 10, I'm to search it with my whole heart. And in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Anybody here struggle with sin? Anybody here, you know you shouldn't, but you do? You know you should, but you don't? You struggle with sin. Maybe your thought life. You struggle with sin. Maybe you know I shouldn't listen to that music, but I like it. You struggle with sin. You just struggle with it. You know it. You know, you get so convicted. You go to church, you get convicted about the same thing over and over and over and over. Well, stop it. Get in the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to tell you, this changed my life in the Bible every day. Was it easy? No. It wasn't easy. In fact, it was hard because I had to get up earlier. For me, the morning is the best time to do this. Many of my children and our family do it at night. They read their Bible at night. This week, my son who was with me the other night, we got in at 10 o'clock. When we got here to camp on Monday night, our plane was delayed and we got in late and drove up from Denver up here to the mountain, and we got in the room and got dressed for bed, and my son got his Bible about 10:30 and read his devotion about 10:30. For me, it's the morning. I read in the morning, and I did that as a teenager. So I'd set my alarm early, and I you don't have to be wise about it. How many of you hate mornings? You hate mornings? You hate getting out of bed? Don't you hate alarm clocks? How many of you believe alarm clocks are not of God? Raise your hand, good night. Yeah, I do too. Alarm clocks, I never have liked them. I tend to be the morning person in my family. I'm the first one up. I tend to be the happier one. I always sing to my kids, you know, in the morning, you know, isn't it a beautiful morning and daddy's in your room? And I just make up songs. It's just such a blessing to kids when you do that as a dad. And so now you'll be a dad. You can do those kind of things. It just is great. So I was a teenager, though. I didn't have any kids, and I'd set my alarm. I had to set my alarm across the room. Because you know if you're right by your bed, the alarm goes off, wah, wah, boom! You go back to sleep. You do that? Let me do that. Boom! I'm nice now. I have an alarm on my phone, my cell phone, that doesn't work at this camp. And so I have an alarm on my phone, and it's soft and quiet. It's nice. And I get out of bed. Now, you're not that way, most of you. You'd have to, got to be shot out of bed. Boom! You're out of bed. Or cattle prodded. Ching! That'll get you out of bed. So I had to set my alarm across the room, and I have to get out of bed to go turn the thing off. So I crawl out of bed and turn it off, and I always determine once I'm out of bed, I'm going to stay up. So I'd turn the alarm off, and I'd get dressed, and then I'd go in the living room, and by all this, I had a place, had a time, it was in the morning, had a place, and I'd go in the living room, and I'd sit down, and my goal was to read one chapter a day. Just a chapter, that was my goal, and I'd always try to read systematically, meaning one chapter at a time. I'd read the book of Genesis one chapter at a time until I finished it and go to the book of Exodus. How many of you have never read the Bible all the way through? It's fine, let me know. How many of you have never read the Bible all the way through? You know what I did when I was a teenager by simply reading one chapter at a time. Just read every day, one chapter at a time. And I made it. Sometimes I'd get excited and read two chapters because it was a great story. Sometimes I wouldn't even make it through a whole chapter because half a chapter would speak to my heart about something and I just would stop right there. The Bible doesn't say read a chapter a day. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt us read us three chapters a day. The Bible doesn't say that. See, it just in the Word of God. My goal was a chapter a day. And what I discovered was that it was hard to stay awake. You ever fallen asleep in the middle of reading? You're like, boom. Some of you do that while we're preaching. Some people are spiritual about it in a revival. Sometimes I've met guys that fall asleep in a revival and it nodding off wakes them up. But I'll be up preaching and they'll nod off and it'll wake them up so they say amen like they meant to do that. Amen! Sometimes people say amen in the wrong place. I was in this church preaching one time. The pastor was on the platform behind me and he was a very loud man. I mean, he hollered while I preached. And I'd say anything and he'd go, amen! Yeah! Woo! That's good stuff, Brother Young. That's good stuff. That's what his favorite line. I'd say, take your Bible. That's good stuff. I'd say, you know the word? That's good stuff. And he just said that all the time. And the whole time I'm preaching, that's good stuff. So I was telling a story one night about my son. And I was teaching my son the word of God. And we were in the store and my son was learning to read. And he sounded out this word. He sounded out beer. And my point was that I was teaching my son what the Bible said about beer. He knew I was going there, the pastor did. So I'm up preaching and I said, and so my son sounded out the word, beer. Pastor's behind me. He goes, that's good stuff, Brother Young. And in the middle of my sermon, I was like, did he just say what I think he said? He had no idea what he said, but what it sounded like he said. Well, listen, here's what I had to do. I don't know why I just told you that story. It had nothing to do with anything. But what I'd have to do is get out of bed, and as I was reading my chapter, I started standing up to read it because I couldn't stay awake. So I'd stand up and read. Because you know what? I typically have a hard time falling asleep when I'm standing. I suppose you can. It'd be dangerous if you fall asleep and hit the corner of the coffee table on your way down. But I even walked. At times, I'd read my Bible and walk. In the living room, I just would walk. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is, this is a simple step, but it'll change your life. And there are teenagers in this camp, and you will never be everything God wants you to be as a young man until you get in God's Word on a daily basis. Amen. Systematically. Read it systematically. I mean, one chapter at a time. How'd you do last week? How you done this summer? You've been on vacation this summer. School's out. How you been doing? You've been reading the Bible every day? See, I don't mean to be mean about this. I'm not trying to be mean about it at all. But isn't there something wrong in our lives when we play video games? We're on our cell phone texting all the time, and we never have time for the Bible. You need to be in the Bible every day, every day, every day. You need to read it, and meditate on it. Think it over. Let it work in your life. Learn to learn the Bible. Learn to apply the Bible. See, when some friend comes over and says, hey, you want to go to this party, and you know there's going to be drinking there, don't be so fast to say, come on. Be like this thing. What does the Bible say I should do? Make the Bible a living, breathing, vital part of your life. How many of you attend church faithfully and regularly? Raise your hand good and high. You go to church regularly? What about the Bible at church? Do you hear it? First of all, do you take your Bible to church? Everybody needs a Bible at church, don't they? Don't go to church without your Bible. When I was a kid in Sunday school, we had this Sunday school teacher in this tiny little country church I attended, and the seats in the little Sunday school were like this. You know, you'd sit way down on the ground, and the teacher always taught standing up, and he was like 6'5", and he weighed like, you know, 105 pounds, and he was the skinniest guy. He had like one stripe in his suit, and he was so skinny, and he had this, he was somber. He was our Sunday school teacher, and he was so somber. I mean, the guy never smiled. He was never funny. We're just little boys sitting in his class looking up at him, way, way up at this teacher. And he would teach, and he was so he had dark black eyes. And while he would teach, he would like lean over us. He'd be like, "Now, boys." You know, we're little guys going, And I remember one time in Sunday school, just as a little boy, he said something I've never forgotten. He's preaching, and he leans over us one day, and he said, "Now, boys." He said, "Don't you know that going to church without your Bible is like going to school without your pants on?" And I was just a little boy, and I remember sitting there going, "Whoa, didn't know that." But you know, I always think of that when I see people come to church now without their Bible. You're not dressed for church! See, it's the Word of God that makes a difference in our lives, teenagers. You know how we need the Bible every day. We ought to read it systematically. We ought to read it specifically. I, as a teenager especially, and even sometimes now, I'll read a proverb a day for a month. On the day one of the month, first day of the month, I'll read Proverbs chapter 1. Because Proverbs gives us wisdom, especially for young men. You young men ought to be a proverb every day. Read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Acts and Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. Read all the way to Revelation. Start in Genesis. Read all the way to Malachi. And I mean, read and read and read and read. But consider a proverb a day. Specifically, get things out of Proverbs. Let it work in your heart. It'll talk to you about how to have the right kind of friends, how to treat your parents, how to be pure and clean. Get in the Word of God. If you did nothing else at this camp but decide, "I'm going to go home and every day I'm going to read the Bible." You say, "But Dave, I tried that. I tried that. I told God I was going to read the Bible every day and I did okay for like 2 weeks. Now, I'm going to let you know a little secret. Did you know there have been days I've not read the Bible? There have been days I've gotten up late, maybe had a baby that was sick in the night or a baby that just decided to get up in the night. My kids are famous for getting up in the night and going, "Daddy." Something wrong with my kids. They should be calling, "Mommy." No, my kids almost always say, "Daddy." Except a few days ago, I was in bed. I'd been traveling. I'd been up all night the night before, and I'd gotten home late, and I went to bed late. And early the next morning, my little girl was in her bedroom. And I heard my little girl, and she's in there. She's 22 months old, and she's going, "Mommy." And Mommy didn't move. I'm a light sleeper. I'm the guy that wakes up. So I'm laying in bed waiting on Mommy to move because I'm tired. I mean, I didn't sleep the night before. My little girl goes, "Mommy." Mommy didn't move. Mommy knows if she doesn't move that Daddy will. She's got me trained real good. Sure enough, finally, all right, I got out of bed and I'm half asleep. And I walked through our RV and I got back to her bedroom and she's going, "Mommy." And I slid the door open and she looks up and she goes, "Oh, it's Daddy." "Oh, it's Daddy." Like, I think she was disappointed. But she, I said, "Okay, well, fine. Good morning to you, too." Now, see, listen, all I'm trying to say is this. Are there days I've skipped my devotions? Yeah, but you know what? If I got too busy in one day or I was too tired or something happened, it doesn't mean I have to stop. It means the next day I get at it again. Yeah. See, the Bible's our food. It's spiritual food. Don't you love to eat? Hello? Don't you love to eat? Sure! Have you ever skipped a meal? Well, a few of you. Nope, not me. How many of you ever gotten up too late and didn't have time for breakfast? Raise your hand, good night. All right, did you quit? All right, you skipped breakfast. Would it make any sense? Oh my goodness, I skipped breakfast either. I just tried this eating stuff and I just can't do it. I quit. Now, honestly, would that be stupid, yes or no? Sure. Well, it's just... I can't even use that word nicely because my kids aren't permitted to say that word. Is it, okay, I got to use it. Is it stupid spiritually just because I got tired one day or maybe got busy one day and skipped a day? Okay, I'm done. I quit. See, I just can't do it, so I quit. I give up. You wouldn't do that. You say, "Well, Brother Young, I tried to read the Bible, but I don't always understand it." Okay, now listen. Did you know that I don't always understand what I eat? Do you? I travel on missions trips, evangelistic trips a lot out of the country. I was in Haiti a few months ago. I was preaching in Haiti, and this Haitian lady made us a meal. She brought it over to the missionary's house, and the missionary, after the Haitian lady left, said to us, "You don't have to eat it if you don't want to. It's traditional Haitian food." I said, "Well, we'll try anything, you know, bring it on, we'll try it." It was actually pretty good. It was soup. It was pretty good. After I ate it, went over and looked at it, and found out that there were pig's feet floating in our soup. You just cut it off, drop it in the soup, and boil it. Doesn't that bless your heart? But I ate it. See, did I understand what I was eating? No, I don't always understand what I'm eating. I mean, take that cake that is over here for Pastor Matt. Take that cake, all right? I don't know that I know exactly what's in that cake. I don't know that I understand that cake, what it was made out of, and how they mixed it up and what they did. I don't understand everything about that cake, but I'd eat it. See, some matter of it, you don't always have to understand, but you just keep eating, right? It's the Word of God, teenagers. Read it every day. Love it. Go to church and hear it. When's the last time you took notes at church? See, a lot of you, church is like, oh my goodness, I got to go to church, and you know, pastor's going to preach an hour, and I'm tired. Well, go to bed earlier on Saturday night. Get a good night's rest. Come to church and sit up front. One thing, sitting up front will help you pay attention more. Sit up front. Come up, sit on the front row and get your notes and take notes and write things down. And when God speaks to your heart, I mean, you don't have to be super weirdo spiritual, but you know, it wouldn't hurt some of you occasionally to maybe under your breath say, "Amen. That's good. That's good stuff." Maybe you shouldn't do that. I mean, probably teenagers shouldn't holler like that in church, but it wouldn't hurt you to enjoy church. I mean, in your heart, maybe in your heart, you could say, "That's good stuff, Pastor Matt. That's good stuff, Pastor Bullock. That's good." Enjoy the Word of God. See, be tenacious about it. Don't quit. Don't give up because it got harder. You didn't understand it or you skipped a day. Get in the Word of God every day and go home and every day let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Make the Word of God a part of your life. That changed my life. When I was a teenager, it'll change yours. Enjoy the Bible. Visualize it. Like David and Goliath. Visualize that. That's a great story. David swung that stone around. Boom! Turned it loose. It sunk in his forehead and he fell on his face. Boom! Never made sense to me. How do you sink a rock in a guy's forehead and he falls forward? What would you expect him to do? So you'd fall backwards, wouldn't you? It's like this. Come here, pal. Bring your Bible. It's like this. If I take my fist and I hit him, right, like this, I go, boom! What would you expect him to do? Either that or hit me back. But if he's going to fall, he'd fall backwards. Goliath didn't. You ever read that? The Bible specifically says that the stone sunk in his forehead and he fell on his face. That is so weird to me. So one day I got thinking about it. What happened there? And here's what I think happened. I can't prove this, but I think what happened was I think that Almighty God leaned out of heaven and slapped him up the back of the head. I think God was just so thrilled with David. "Man, that's good, son! Boom!" Goliath's on his face. And then the Bible says that David doesn't have a sword, so he goes and takes Goliath's sword and cuts off Goliath's head. That's it. Visualize that. Just boom! Cuts off his head. That head shows up later in Jerusalem. David is carrying that head to Jerusalem. That's a great story. Look what I got, man. I got it. Look there. Woo! I got it. Look at there! Shaking out the blood and brains. Oh, look at there, man. I got it. Isn't that a great story? See, visual. Enjoy the Bible. Isn't that a great story? Don't just be like, "Oh, Goliath's dead. Oh, boom, I'm out of here." Enjoy it. Enjoy the Bible. Read it and love it and enjoy it. I mean, that's a great story. He's like a redneck. You ever met a redneck? Guy's a redneck. He's a deer hunter. He kills a deer. He kills a trophy buck. He's like an old hire. Everybody kills deer. They're like, "Oh, we're a deer hunter. So a guy kills a trophy deer and he puts it in the back of his truck. He's got this big four-wheel drive truck, big wheels. He goes driving around town showing off that deer. "Hey, look what I got back there, man. I killed, look at there, look what I got him. Whoa, look at that." And all the guys get around like, yep, he's dead. "Yep, you gutted him. Yep, that's a nice deer right there. Now that's a nice deer." I never knew till I moved to Ohio. I grew up in Tennessee. I never knew till I moved to Ohio that even Yankees can talk like Southerners. Rednecks, they do. They're like, "Yep, that's a nice deer right there, man. That's a nice deer right there. You got a nice deer right there." It's where they get NASCAR from. That's a nice car right there, man. That's a nice car, I'm telling you. That's where those Southerners got it. Nash, that's Nash. That's Nash there. See, that's what David. David took that head back there. He's showing it off. Man, look what I killed this guy. God, help me to kill this guy. Enjoy the. You ever read Gideon? The Bible says Gideon went down there by the tent of the Midianites. And he's scared. He gets down there in the tent. He's listening. And those two Midianite soldiers are talking. They say, man, we had a dream last night. His buddy says, what'd you dream about? He said, I dreamed this loaf of bread fell out of heaven and killed all of us. That's a great story, isn't it? Loaf of bread fell out of heaven and killed. You read that. That's what your Bible says. Visualize that for a moment. Voom. What's even funnier is Gideon says, or the one Midianite soldier, Gideon's outside the tent listening. I dreamed a loaf of bread fell out of heaven and killed all of us. And his buddy says, that's Gideon. Where do you get that? I have no idea. All right, so a loaf of bread fell out of heaven and that's Gideon and now we're all dead men. I mean, the Bible's full of enjoyment. Enjoy it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Judges. The Bible says in Judges that Jael, the wife of Heber, took a nail and went softly unto Sisera. He was asleep in her tent. Jael took a nail. It rhymes. Jael took a nail, went softly unto him, and she drove the nail through his temples and fastened his head to the ground. The Bible says, so he died. No kidding! I think I'd have died too! Isn't that a great little three little words in that verse? So he died. See, enjoy the Bible. Don't think of it as, oh my goodness, I'm going to read the Bible. And so here I'm going to get up early because, you know, it'll change your life. Watch this change my life. I'm reading the Bible. See, my life is changed. Don't think like that. Be tenacious and enjoy the Bible and take it to church with you and love the Bible and let it change your life. Teenagers, I've never been the same since I started reading the Bible every day. I've never been the same. You never will either. It's a step. Lightning didn't flash. There was no rolling thunder. Nobody gave me a standing ovation and nobody applauded. But it changed my life. And it will yours. Some of you are 13 years old and you've never read the Bible every day. And it's high time that changes. Here's the second step. I got eight minutes here and I'll finish. Here's a step that changed my life. The Bible every day. A word from God every day. Here's the second step that changed my life. I was 16 years old when I took this step. I started praying every day. I started developing a prayer life. I call the devotions in the Bible a word from God. I refer to my prayer life as a word with God. Prayer is a vital part of your life, young people. Are you saved? Don't make prayer just something you do occasionally. Make it a daily part of your life. I started praying. It changed my life. I was just 16. I didn't understand everything about prayer. There's a lot more I know about prayer now than I did then. I knew there were things I could be grateful for. Prayers, thanksgiving. Get on your knees and be thankful. You have nothing else to pray for. Don't you have a lot to be thankful for? Thank the Lord for a cell phone. You know what? When I was a teenager, nobody had these. My first cell phone, I thought I'd arrived. I bought a bag phone that was about the size of this little speaker right here. My first cell phone was about this big. I'm serious. And it was in my car floorboard, and it had a little, like, phone on it, like a house phone. You'd pull it off and talk to people. And I got a little cord down to there. That was my first cell phone. I grew up without it. They didn't have email when I was a kid. When I was a teenager, there was no email. Can you believe that? We never texted. We didn't even know, you know, what TTYL and all of that code you people talk in. I'm old, I guess, because I get texts from people and I'm like, what does that mean? So I try all these combinations and, you know, sometimes I just text people back and go, what in the world are you trying to say? I just call them. What'd you say? I can't read your writing. Can you do that again? My wife's an English teacher, and she has a friend who's an English teacher too. And in her class last year, she had kids that wrote English papers and used texting phrases in their English paper. And their teacher, like, marked it all red and gave it back and said, "You got to write it out." Can you imagine that? See, you got a lot to be thankful for, teenagers. You can complain about a lot of stuff, but when's the last time you got on your knees and said, "Lord, I got a lot to eat"? And I wear nice clothes. I speak often in Moldova, teenagers, and I was in Moldova last year. And did you know that out of the 300 kids that came one of the camp weeks to hear me preach, most of them brought one tiny little bag to camp, maybe the size of my Bible, if not much bigger than this. Because they don't have clothes like you do. Many of them wore the same thing Friday they wore Monday because that's all they brought to camp. That's all they had. You got a lot to be thankful for. When's the last time you had a prayer life and spent some time every day just saying, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done for me. Do you ever worship the Lord? I mean, just get on your knees and say, Lord, I love you. When's the last time somebody told you they loved you? Be honest. Isn't that special? When somebody says to you, hey, I just want you to know something. I love you. I love you. I want y'all to know something. Pastor Tice is one of my favorite people in the world. And I don't know how many times Pastor Tice has just called me and said, hey, just called to tell you I love you. And I want you to know that's special. You know what? I can't help but think it's special to the Lord. Our God says that He wants us to love Him with all of our heart. See, that's part of prayer. Pray. James chapter 5 says this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I read in Proverbs yesterday afternoon, I was reading some in Proverbs, and I read in Proverbs that the wicked, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. How many of you have some kind of situation back home that concerns you? Anybody here like that? Maybe a family situation, maybe your parents are divorcing, or maybe there's some kind of trouble with the butt. Anybody like that? Just, it's fine, nobody but us. How many of you have a trouble situation that bothers your heart? You know, I want to tell you something. You can pray about that. I may not be able to give you the answer. Maybe there's no answer. But when's the last time you went to God and got on your knees? And I recommend you pray on your knees. You don't have to. You can walk and pray. You can talk. Why don't you start in your bedroom, getting up every morning and reading a chapter, and then getting on your knees and spending some time with God. Make a list. I pray over a list. I have a list that I pray over every day. And then I have a list for Monday. On Sunday, I pray for pastors and churches. On Monday, I pray for friends. There's two people on that list. On Tuesday, I pray for evangelists. On Wednesday, I pray for missionaries. Just a few moments ago, I knelt and finished my prayer list, my missionary list. I prayed for missionaries. I always try to pray on my knees if I can. I close my eyes when I can. This is learning to pray. Learning to spend time with God. Teenagers, it changed my life. What is amazing is that God not only hears my prayers, He answers. One of the most amazing things in the world is that when I go to God on my knees and ask God, Lord, You know this need, and I don't know what to do about this need, but I need this need met, and so I'm asking You to take care of it, and God supplies. Teenagers, God can do that for you. You see, brother, you don't understand, I'm not a preacher. I'm not talking about being a preacher, I'm talking about being a Christian. Order my steps in Thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Here are two steps that changed my life. I was 16 years old, started reading the Bible every day, started working on my prayer life. There's a lot more I know about the Bible now than I did then. There's a lot more I know about prayer now than I did then. But I'm telling you, that changed my life. I got so involved in the Word of God, I started carrying it to my public school. I carried a Bible about this size to school. I took it to school. Carried it with me to school. I had a teacher that made fun of him. His name was Rick Bean. He was from the 60s, the hippies movement of the 60s. In our school, you had to wear a suit to school. And he wore a suit, and he wore sandals with his suit. No socks and sandals. That's always had on sandals. I remember Rick Bean. Always had on sandals. He always made fun of me. He'd always say, ah, got your Bible, I see. What you gonna be? He'd say, what you gonna be, a preacher? And I guess the answer was, yep. But he didn't make fun of my Bible. I mean, he always did. He always laughed at my Bible. He always made fun. One morning, I got up and on my way to school found out that Michael Potter, who was a good friend of mine, had committed suicide. The night before he'd committed suicide, his parents were divorcing. And in the middle of his parents' divorce, he took his life. Boy, we were all caught off guard. Michael was just, he's a fun-loving, great guy. And he committed suicide. We were just devastated. First hour class was Mr. Bean. I always made fun of my Bible. Got to first hour class in my public high school that morning. And went in and everybody was quiet, you know, it was quiet. Because everybody was just so shocked. Mr. Bean apparently didn't know. And after a moment, he looked up and he's like, what is wrong with y'all? And someone told him, didn't you hear about Michael? And I remember Mr. Bean, when we told him that Michael had committed suicide, he got out of his desk, and I can still see him. He walked around to the front of his desk, and he leaned back on his desk like this. I could still see his beard and his sandals. He had really long hair. He leaned around like this, and he said, "David, you got that Bible?" "Yes, sir." He said, "Let me have it." So in my public high school, I handed Mr. Bean my Bible. And I watched him as he opened it. And he turned to the 23rd Psalm. And he said, "Let me read you some scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why would a public school teacher who didn't even believe in God and never went to church and made fun of my Bible, why did he open my Bible that morning and read it? I want you to know something, young people. It's because this is no ordinary book. I'm fine with Shakespeare. Anybody here like Shakespeare? Anybody here like Shakespeare? A few of you? My daughter does too. My daughter's reading. She's almost read everything Shakespeare's ever written. A friend of mine told me the day, he said, "I'd get a hold of my daughter if I were you." I'm fine. She reads Shakespeare. This year she's read 112 classics. This year. She reads like 4 books a week, my daughter. She's nuts. She reads Copperfield and Dickens and Shakespeare. She loves to read. And she just reads. She just devours a book. And she remembers it. She can tell you all about it when she's done. She loves it. I want to tell you something. This is no Shakespeare. I love Robert Frost. He's my favorite poet. I love Robert Frost. This is not Robert Frost. My favorite author is Louis L'Amour. It's not real deep. He's a Western writer. I love Louis L'Amour. I read one day that John Rice, one of my favorite evangelists, read everything Louis L'Amour wrote. And I thought, you know what? Maybe that's what made him a great evangelist. So I bought everything Louis L'Amour ever wrote. I've read everything except for 9 books. And I'm still no John Rice, so it didn't work. But you know what? This is no Louis L'Amour. Are y'all with me this morning or not? This is the Word of God. It'll change your life, son. Some of you guys are getting ready to go to Bible college. You never read the Bible every day. It's time you get at it. Some of you are going to be juniors this fall. It's time you get in the Bible every day. Get rid of the video game. There's nothing wrong with playing a video game occasionally. But if you play video games every day and you never read the Bible, teenager, something's wrong. If all you ever do is go practice and play your sports, and you never these 2 steps changed my life. I don't feel like I'm connecting with you. If you're at least getting what I'm saying, smile at me or nod your head or something. We'll be here till I'll preach till 4 o'clock, people, if I have to. You've got to get this. You know I will, so you might as well shake your head and help me out here. See, get this. This will change your life. The Bible every day. How many of you would say, "Brother Dave, I'm going to be honest. I don't read the Bible every day, but I'm willing to start if God will help me." How many of you would say, "Brother Dave, I don't have a prayer life. I mean, sometimes I pray, but as far as like consistently pray about things and see God answer, I don't have that kind of prayer life. But if you could do it when you were 16, Brother Dave, I can do it at my age, and I'm willing to start." How many of you say this morning? Would you raise your hand? "I'm willing to start. I'll start praying every day." Let me tell you this, and I'm done. At camp this summer, I've been to 3 different camps this summer, and in 2 of the 3 camps, I had teenagers say something like this to me. They say, "You know, Brother Dave, boy, it's easy. It's easy. I go to camp, and I read the Bible every day, and we pray every day, and I get to live for the Lord here at camp. It's just so easy. But you know, Brother Dave, I'm going home. I go to camp, man, and I get to read my Bible every day and have devotions and I pray, but I'm going home." A lot of you think that same way. I want to tell you something, teenagers. The reason it works at camp is because you schedule it. You plan it every morning at 8, 7:45. Is it 7:45? Every morning, 7:45, we meet together and have devotions. We'll go over that list and read our Bible and pray. See, it's scheduled. Schedule it. Take this back home with you. See, every morning I'm going to get up at, I don't know, get up whenever you want to. I'm going to get up at 11:30. I'm reading my Bible. God, I hope you get up before 11:30. I'm going to get up at 10:30. Or get up before that. I'm going to get up at 8. I'm going to get up at 7. I'm going to get up at 6. I'm going to get up every morning and read my Bible. Or I'm going to do it before I go to bed at night. See, schedule it and do it. It'll change your life. Here's the verse. Psalm 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalm 119, 133. Teenagers, those two steps. I could talk about steps all day, but two are so basic. I just felt led of the Lord to give you those two steps this morning. Every day in the Bible, and every day with a prayer life. And you'll never be the same. All right? Does that make sense? Let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Let me give you a moment to pray, and we'll go to lunch here in a few minutes. Would you just right there at your seat right now, you raise your hand. Would you say, Lord, that is so simple, and I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. It is so simple, and I don't read your word every day. And I know there may be days that I'm going to get too busy, and there may be days I'm going to get too tired, but every day I'm going to be in your word if you'll help me every day. And if I tell the Lord this, Lord, if I skip a day, help me to start the next day where I was and keep going. Just pray like that. Be real, just real matter of fact with God. He already knows and understands. So talk to him. Lord, I want to have a prayer life, and if you'll help me, I will. If you'll help me. Lord, just help me. Now, Father, that's how I pray too. I'm so thankful that I had a man in my life many years ago who taught me that if I'd read your word every day and go to church and hear it and apply it to my life and love it and live it, that it would change my life. And God, it's been so true. And I'm so thankful that that same man taught me that I needed to start learning how to pray. And Lord, I don't know that I prayed the right kind of prayers even at times. I didn't understand everything. I was just growing. Lord, I do know that you've changed my life. And I'm so thankful for the many, many times that I've called on you. And Lord, you've not only heard my prayer, you've answered it. And I marvel at that. And I'm just so amazed at how good you've been to me and how you've blessed me and worked in my heart and my life. And Lord, I've never been the same. And I know these kids won't be either. I sure love you, Lord. May everything we say and our attitudes and our spirit bring honor and glory to you. God, do a mighty work. We love you. We're so grateful we have this time together. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. What a great prayer every day, not just for a teenager, but any man, woman, boy, or girl who desires to live for Jesus. It's our prayer that you are living a life pleasing unto the Lord. Perhaps you do not know the Lord as your Savior. And the Holy Spirit of God used the Word of God to bring conviction of sin and your need of Jesus tonight. Go to bbnchat.org right now and enter into a private conversation with a biblical advisor. bbnchat.org. bbnchat.org.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.